Hello.
I am John Gorhalski. I'd like to thank Joan and Jimmy and Don and everybody else that's involved in this. I read here actually 20 years ago, which dates me, so shit. Let's get on with this then. Was it 10 after? I have a book coming out on Christopher Collins' Coleridge Street Press, which is a little different than his Logos Press, if you know it. I have a book called Glass City that's on there, but this one is called Starting with the Last Name Gorhalski, which is, incidentally enough, my last name. So we've got lucky. So I'm going to start with the title poem from that. It's called Starting with the Last Name Gorhalski. So I'm going to say it for the third time. Starting with the last name Gorhalski. I could trace my lineage down the bar at Sufax Round Corner on Saturday afternoons in Pittsburgh, planting roots in the linoleum floor with grandfathers and uncles and a stray cousin or two, starting with their last names at the other end, working my way back down the bar toward beer and shots, gambling pools and stray packs of smokes, tracing the lineage of everything that emptied generations of family fortune into the rusty till of blue-collar weekend genocide. Thank you. I'm going to read mostly from the upcoming book because Chris paid me off when I came in here. So I had a book about my boss who, the reason I couldn't be here last year, he wouldn't let me come here. So I had a really mean poem about him but was advised not to read it because it deals with excrement. So it's people are eating. This one is called Looking Like an Artist. I like those earrings you have, she tells me. You look very cool like that. And the long hair and beard. I keep trying to get my son to grow his hair out. You look like some kind of an artist, she says. A painter or poet. If only, I say to her, thinking about how all of the poetry scenes have rejected me lately. And the novel just got sent back with a letter from some assistant in Chicago who couldn't even get the title of the book or my character's names right. I think about the paints dried up in the closet and the stack of poetry books that I can't give away. Yet she stands there and smiles at me while I'm nursing another Thursday morning wine and beer hangover. Maybe the bloodshot eyes and pale, vomitous complexion are doing something for her as well. To think it was all so easy all along. If you can't be a decent artist, at least you can look like one. This is called Nothing About the World in Love. I wanted so much love from everyone that my feelings always turned to jealousy and hate. I mean, why accept the affections of the few anyway when the whole world waited at my doorstep? These are the kind of things that I used to think, alone, inventing and reinventing myself in that boyhood bedroom, first a painter, and then an actor, a musician, finally a writer, who understood nothing about the world in love, or that to get anywhere with just one person, it would have to be endless lies and naked confession all of the time. This one is called Bastille Day, and it's for the greatest bartender in the world, a guy named Keith in Grass. If you ever go to New York, go to St. Mark's Place, go to the Grassroots Tavern, go there on Saturday. Actually, wait, fuck, I don't want anyone in there when I'm in there. Don't go there on that time. Go there on another day. Anyway, this is Bastille Day, and it's for Keith. Then he said, in all seriousness, how do you impress a French girl? To which I said, a lot of wine, some Edith Piaf, some Serge Gainsbourg, a little Proust on the couch. And if that doesn't work, show her your cock while whistling Yankee Doodle Dandy. Reach for the butter. Tell her to bend over, mon chéri, because it's Bastille Day, all day, just for her. This is called my niece in her Thanksgiving dress, and this is for my ex-sister-in-law, thank God. If only it happened sooner. Looking at the picture of my niece in her Thanksgiving dress, 15 months old and smiling without a care, I think she looks just like my soon-to-be ex-sister-in-law, which somehow softens the blow of not seeing my niece in over a year. But really, only just a little bit. This is called Thursday Afternoon, which I wrote relatively recently. I'm not a reactionary poet. I'm not political. I kind of wish every party would go away. But that shooting happened, so I wrote this, and here it is. This is called Thursday Afternoon. There are five of them waiting on the platform at 20th Avenue, two girls and three boys. When they get on the train, loud and vicious, they split up. The girls go toward one end, and the boys sit next to me. They give the girls a chance to sit down, and then the smallest one, isn't it always the smallest one, starts. He cups his mouth. He shouts, "Y'all a bunch of pussies. Y'all cunts. Lydia, cunt. You too, Maria. Y'all a bunch of pussies," he repeats, so that only the deaf and the dead haven't heard him. No one responds to the kid, not even the girls. Maybe we've all just grown too accustomed to this shit. We just want to go the hell home. Christ, he's not even that old. He's leaning more toward 13 than a young man. "Up with fellas. Down with ugly bitches," he shouts. And it echoes through the train like a cannon shot. Then the boys slap each other five and laugh. They are all dressed the same, in clothing, telling them to obey. Well, I guess they're off to a great start in this country. I look down toward the girls. They are laughing and playing music. If the boys have gotten to them, you'd never know. But girls have to learn early here. They have to learn to scrape indignity off with a smile. Bitch. Whore. Cunt. Pussy. At 61st Street, the little boy rises with me to leave. But not before getting in one more shot. "Y'all is ugly pussy bitch," he shouts. Then he gets off the train laughing. But it doesn't last too long. His face turns into a permanent smirk. I look at him. I wonder what it would take to grab him in the station. Right here. Right now. Put the fear of God in the little punk. Tell him that if I ever catch you talking to women like that again, this strutting piece of American privilege on a Thursday afternoon, he wouldn't listen to me anyway. I'd be another pussy. So I let him go toward his connecting train, and I go off toward mine, doing my part to let the misogyny perpetuate, wondering what in the world I'll say about this to my wife, to our mothers, to your sisters, to everyone's daughter and niece. I'm going to 2 and 10 minutes here. All right, I got a few more. All right, this is called the New Colossus, which I think is the name of the thing on the Statue of Liberty. By thing, I mean placard that she's holding. I don't know, I just live there. I don't go there. It's called New Colossus. She says, "I feel like I live in China now." "How's that?" I ask. By way of explanation, she waves her arms around the room. There are Chinese people reading books, Chinese talking on cell phones, Chinese playing on the computer, or engaged in some other activity. Somewhere down the block, a Chinese family is buying some old Italian's home. It is true. We are the only two white people in the room. "I knew I felt good for a reason," I say. "I always feel good when Whitey isn't around." She gives me the same dirty look she always gives me when I tell her that I don't celebrate the 4th of July. "Yeah, well, it's the wave of the future," she says. "Bring it on," I say. "Give me your tired, your poor." She rolls her eyes. She looks poised to go into one of those rants about the good old days of America. But she settles for, "This ain't my country no more." And then she glares around the room. She goes back to video games on Facebook. The three cell phones that she keeps that beep and chortle and make the most inane robotic noises. She nods at a meme that says, "America, love it or leave it," as the battle hymn of the Republic plays on and on and on and on. And, yeah, this is the last thing I'm going to read, and I'll go away for you guys. This is called "I'm Going to the Bar." "I'm going to the bar. That's what I told the 18-year-old clerk when she asked me what I'm doing tonight. So now I have to go. For her. For you, too. I'm going to the bar to drink beer and eat pretzels and play loud and rock and roll music at a volume that I can't play at home. I'm going to the bar for Led Zeppelin and Jim Morrison and Mick Jagger so that the bartender can shake my hand and wish me a happy new year so that I can wish him one, too. I'm going to drink pints of Budweiser and love them. I might have a shot or two. I'm going to the bar to forget about poetry and novels and books I haven't read, to forget about work and late trains, to forget about prescription pills and divorce and cancer and death, at least for a little while. I'm going to the bar to sit there and watch the evening news on mute and not care what's happening in Syria or Iraq or South Sudan, and not care about whiny Americans bitching about the winter cold, and not care about Republicans versus Democrats, and this celebrity state that we've been paralyzed in since the dawn of the internet age, bless you. I'm going to the bar to get a little drunk and to have a good time, to answer Jeopardy questions and not care if I'm right or wrong. I'm going to bitch to the bartender about the upcoming baseball season, about the Super Bowl, about the Nets and the Knicks, about A-Rod, and about how Mike Piazza got the shaft from the Hall of Fame again this season, and then tip him for lending me his ear. I'm going to let the racists tell me their racist jokes and not say a word. I'm not correcting a goddamned soul tonight. I'm just going to order another beer and let the dim lights and the warmth of this place envelop me. Thank the stars that I'm alive for a change and at the bar. Thank you.